Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. He loves us so much. These are days before His glorious return, and I thank God that I'm living at this most pivotal time in history. You know, that when Jesus came, and when He died on the cross, that changed everything. And now we're going to see His imminent return, and He's going to move His people off earth, which is the rapture, and I thank God for it. And I know it's close. I'm not trying to rush it, but it's close anyway. And His return is imminent. And when you think about His imminent return, you want to be ready, not just so that you'll make heaven, but so that you'll be a blessing to man. You want to be effective. This is a time in life to be healthy, to be effective. And see, the last few broadcasts we showed how people take things differently. If you can't serve God with a proud mind, that proud mind will interfere with what you do for God. It always has and it always will. But everything that's of the world can be gotten rid of. You know how you throw trash away? It can be thrown away. Just like the toilet can be flushed, the things of the world can be disposed of. Everything of the world can be driven out of your life. And the Lord always required His people to get rid of darkness. When He gave them the land of Canaan, He told them to drive out the Canaanites, or else they would be like thorns in your sides and smoke in your eyes. And so they weren't supposed to fail to drive them out. But see, the reason that they didn't finish driving them out, as long as Joshua was alive, they was obedient. Well, most of the tribes was obedient. But Dan they got chased down, you know, out of the mountain. But more of the tribe of Israel was obedient when Joshua was alive. But when he died, they waned a little bit, and they stopped driving out the Canaanites. But Judah was a tribe that stayed. It was the strongest tribe of Israel. It lasted when everybody else got driven out. And any tribe that helped it, Judah, such as Ephraim and the Levites that were there in the land of Judah, they remained strong for much longer. So, but they ended up getting driven out too. By Nebuchadnezzar, because they allowed the world system to sustain in their culture. You have to drive it out of your culture, or it will drive you out of the kingdom of God. One of the two will happen. Now, why would churches become like Laodicean, and why would Jesus have to address every church and encouraging them to go back to their first love? You know, that's your strength. If you love God, then you hate the world too, the world system as well. You don't hate the people, but you hate the system of the world. And if you don't hate it, it will begin to turn your heart against God. You'll fall away from your first love. You know, and that doesn't need to happen. Anything that you allow that's in the world to remain, it's going to be a problem for you. And I tried to illustrate that the last week's broadcast. You know, it's not an accident. Sin is not an accident. You have to choose it and plan it. It's not an accident. Sin is never an accident. It's always a choice. And sometimes people do sinful things, don't realize it's sin. I'm talking about when you consciously decide, I'm going to do this, and you know it's wrong, that's sin. Also, when the gray area, you know, people do things to, like if there's a class action lawsuit and you really wasn't affected by the product and you join it to get something out of somebody else, well, that's not right. Or if you're on disability and you shouldn't be, that's not right either. And sometimes people are on disability, they have no job, then they go get saved. And then they like, well, I'm on disability. They really shouldn't have been on disability. and they, their conscience is bothering them about it. Well, what do? You go get a job and you get off disability. Well, Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, count up the cost. Do what's right. Don't do what others do. The culture of this world would say, no, stay on disability. God don't care. No, you do what's right. If you need to be on, if you do have a problem and you can't work, well, stay on disability, and but go about doing good and believe God for healing and the day that you can work and sustain yourself. And but that's just the way of God. You have to do it all. We live by the love of God. Don't ever compromise the love of God. If you do what you're supposed to do, that's the life God can bless. Live a blessable life. Don't live a life that's in the gray area. Get rid of the gray area. Get rid of everything that's not of God. Is it worth it? I put it this way. I've lived in the world apart from God, and I've lived in the kingdom of God with God's blessings on my life. Even if I had to lose everything I own, I'm going to stick with God no matter what. I'm not in it for the fish and the loaves. I love his ways. I love his principles. I love his word. I agree with it. I love his people. God give me strength and health. I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. Everything I got, I give it to Jesus. And he bless it and give it back to me so that I can do my job. So that I can be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. See, if you compromise somewhere, you're going to have problems from those weak spots. If you do everything, but you leave this over here and you reserve this from God, this part of your life is reserved against God, it's not going to work. And so what has happened is many people, through bad teaching and rebellion, have drifted from the ways of God, the heart of God, the person he is. And when you listen to what Jesus said and build your life, you can build your life by his principles. Or you can trust the world, and the world will give you terrible interference. And that doesn't need to happen. Now, whatever you do, you got to understand God has to deal with it. If you do right, he can work with it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, how people try to impose beliefs like the Colossians did. If you're not saved unless you get circumcised, or if you don't observe the feast days right, and if you don't observe the Sabbath day and go to church on the Sabbath day, then you're not authentic. You know, they were doing great. And then here come the wicked and their bylaws. And the reason I say the wicked is because they were trying to judge them based on on the principles that they like, without looking at what Jesus did. See, when your eyes are veiled to the truth, you believe wrong. And some things appeal to proud people, and some things appeal to godly people. Now, what appeals to godly people, it makes the proud people angry. They don't like the love of God. When you talk about the love of God, people, they, you know, and loving him and loving his people, people of the world not going to hang around that. Why? Because they hate that. Now, people that are caught up in the world, when they see the light, people with a good and honest heart or a salvageable heart, they're going to be attracted to the light. There are many people that would be attracted to the light. Now, that's what Jesus was saying. He said, the harvest is plentiful, many, but the laborers are few. Pray that he send laborers to his harvest. All right, so if the harvest is plentiful, that means that there are many people out there. There are many people out there who, if they hear the word of God, if they see the light, they're going to come. They're going to be attracted to what's right. While the wicked hate what's right. And that's how it is. That's how it's going to be. And the wicked will do wickedly, and they won't understand, according to Daniel. But those that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. See, that's the contrast right there. That's the difference. You know, and this is Luke 10, chapter 2. He said, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. So he's letting you know, some people are not going to like your doctrine when you're doing what's right. The things of God appeal to people who love him. Now, Jesus appealed to me when I heard his message. I knew he loved me. And I didn't just get saved right away. I got tired of the world. I thought about what he had done for me and how I was doing, and what I was doing didn't work. When you're in the world, you don't really care about what's right. You're in a fog. You don't see everything clearly. But when people love you and they're kind to you, that's not something you can easily forget, especially if you're attracted to what's right. If you have any love in you, then you're gonna go forward without, and see, the devotions of God is very important. People that honor God with their life, they love him from the heart. And this is something that's just, it's very important. Now, darkness and light are two different things. The darkness loves the way of the world, and light loves God. That's how it works. And when we first met God, he chose the light and rejected the darkness. He said, let there be light. And he saw that the light was good. Everything he made, it was good. And everything he does is consistently good. And Jesus taught people right. He taught people the way to go. And the things of God helps you to see things perfectly. Now, let's look at John 3:16. It says, Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world or damn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And now watch this. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are worked in God. Now, and this is a ongoing fact. If people start loving the world, it's going to do something against them. It changed the way they hear. It changed the way they see. It changed their perceptions. It changed their appetites against God. If you watch worldly movies enough with enthusiasm, you'll start desiring that lifestyle. You'll have a hunger for the, if you love action movies, for instance, you'll have a hunger for it. And if you watch whatever you watch on TV and you get into it, you start having a hunger for the soap opera life or the action life, or whatever it is, the sport life or whatever, you know. It's important to understand these things. Your will is something you must protect and keep and stay in the love of God, but drive out the things that's not of God. And then you can live a pure life. and you can live without sins. You can speak that you hate sin, and you'll hate it. And this, what David wrote in the Psalms will help. What he wrote in Psalm 18, the evil way I hate. You know, and it's important to hate the things of darkness. Now here it is, Psalm 119, 104, not Psalm 118. It says, verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. When I saw that one year, I said, Lord, I want to hate every false way, everything that's not like you. I want to hate it. Everything that's opposite of God. Things like the worldly way, Satan's ideas, everything of Satan, such as lust, greed, pride. And God hates pride. So when I saw that God hates pride, I spoke that I hate pride. and everything else, lust, greed, everything. Those concepts take away the mission of Christ. This is why I say that. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. All right. When you love people like Jesus loved you, that's what you want to do. But let's say you get comfortable in your own life, and in your, you got everything you wanted. You got your promised land. You got your house. You got your pool. You got your cars and trucks. Everything's going good. You got a good job. You eating whatever you want, whenever you want. You can fall in love with that more than the mission at hand. And then you can also do this. You can get so busy with ministry that you lose sight of why you started it. Or you can get so caught up in the business of winning the loss and everything that you forget God. Now that's two extremes, but it happens to people. And one day I was very busy in ministry trying to get things going. And then I wasn't spending time with the Lord like I used to. I was always at church trying to do something or prepare something. And my relationship with God, I wasn't spending time with him like I used to. So I went over to my mother's house before they moved, when they lived by the airport. And me and my sister was talking about Revelation, and we had a good time in the Lord. And I remember saying, this is how church is supposed to be. You know, we had a good conversation. My family was interested. You know, my mother was there. She was interested. And we had a good time. And I said, this is how church is supposed to be. And after we got through and everything, I was about to leave. I had a thought. I said, you know, I'll never let anything hinder me from my relationship with Jesus. I said, ministry is going to always be ministry. People are going to always be people, but I'm going to enjoy the Lord. Now, this is why I say that. It brought something back to my remembrance. When you delight yourself in him, you're in covenant. You're in agreement. And you'll do whatever it takes to get people saved. Now, it's not like a man work. People try to do ministry out of their mind and out of tradition. And they put that ministry in a capsule, so to speak. And they don't enjoy the Lord like they used to, which is what made them want to preach in the first place. So, and then they look at what people are doing, and it's all out of kilter. And then they get offended or upset. Well, remember something. If you get offended with people, you can't minister to them. It's just the way it is. And guess what? The wicked are going to do wicked, and they're not going to understand. You got to love people no matter what they do, in spite of what they do. You may not like what they do, but remember, they have a soul too. You know, the president has a soul. I love his soul. I don't want him hurt. All the people that in Congress that do things that's just way off kilter and sinful, and I still love their soul. Now, And this, it can be a challenge just to stay balanced and handle things like Jesus would handle them. So I need Jesus' strength, and I need his logic. I need his mindset. So it's not popular to love people that other people are angry with. But guess what? I love them anyway. That's God's way. That's not going to change. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. James and John was mad at the Samaritans because when they didn't receive Jesus. Should we call fire down out of heaven? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are. So in ministry, no matter what people do, love them anyway. Yeah, but they're messing up the country. Love them anyway. They're not going to stop messing up the country. Just love them anyway. If you get them, so just like James said in chapter 5, if you get a man saved, you'll hide a multitude of sins. I rejoice when people get saved, whether I like them or not. And sometimes I don't like people. I don't like their ways. I don't like what they're doing or what they stand for. And I tell them that. But I love them. But more than before I just go and tell somebody how I don't like what they're doing, I would tell them about Jesus and I would love them. If I was dealing with them, if I had to see them, I would treat them with kindness and respect. And sometimes people's heart to heart, they're not going to change. But your love for them can make a difference. Think about it. All of us were sinners before we were Christians. And somebody loved us in spite of our ways, and it got our attention. And we had a representative. We finally had, you can be around Christians, but you don't always get to be around a representative. A representative is a disciple that loves you like Jesus loves you. They are representative. They represent Jesus and the heart of God. Some people represent the Holy Spirit. Some people represent the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, while some people represents the honor of the Holy Spirit. Some people represents the love of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus. See, Christian people can represent different aspects of God and not the others. And sometimes, to the educated mind, if you get somebody that spend time in the Holy Spirit and learn, then they're going to minister to those that love knowledge. Now, you know, always, but first, the love has to be in place. That's the common denominator. You have to have a representative of the love of God first. And then through the love of God, the wisdom will get their attention. But the love of God is foundational. And that's what everybody wants. And then through the love of God only, they'll see God. And they'll have the comparison they need. Now, when you live a consistent life of love and with respect and kindness and boldness, people will know where you stand. And they'll see your life work. Now, when God bless you, you don't have to go and flash everything that God gave you before people. Serve God with it. If you got a beautiful car, take your co-workers to lunch in the car. Don't act like they're, operate like they're important to you. Treat them with respect. They may disagree. We don't agree on that, but hey, what you want for lunch? Talk about something you do agree with. Love them. Love opens the door for ministry. And sometimes if they're checking you out, you got their attention. People behave differently when you got their attention. They'll say things to see what you're going to do, to see if you fit the stereotype or not. So answer them by the Holy Ghost. Answer them by the Holy Ghost. Do like Jesus did. You're not going to be two-faced. Jesus wasn't two-faced. When they tried to trap him, he answered them by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he loved them. He did love the Pharisees. Even when he gave them the rundown. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He had, sometimes that's necessary to expose darkness. And he did it openly. And he was angry because they were excluding themselves out of the kingdom of God. And he warned them. God always wants us to warn people about the danger. Now that's where, you know, I hope I did a good job with that. I haven't always been the best at warning people. I do tell people about how I went to hell. And I tell them when they're more likely to listen. And I treat them with love. And all of my friends, everybody I know, I told them how I went to hell and what I saw. I told a friend of mine, I said, you see that cement floor? He said, yeah. I said, if a man die that's unsaved, he'll go straight through that floor all the way to the center of the earth. There's nothing on this earth that can stop him. He's going down just like you falling out the sky. Now, I told him that at a time when he was in a serious mood, because me and him, we used to love to crack jokes and play and everything. And it ended. I said, Lord, he helped me out a lot of times. And I noticed that he had a good heart. I could tell. I said, Lord, I want you to save him. I don't care. I don't know how you're going to do it, but one day I want him saved. This man needs to be saved. And, my brother-in-law had some a tape. It was a CD from Coca-Cola. They had all the classics. And I made him a copy of it. And then I put the Christian song at the back of it. It had a Christian song on it, you know. And I put that on the back. And it's a lot of things you can do to help people. And but that's how it was, you know. I just copied the whole thing. It just happened to have the Christian song in the back, and it was effective. When I worked at the car lot, the first mechanic, well, it was a semi-mechanic job. I worked on the car lot. They had me washing cars and fixing minor things. It wasn't a real mechanic job. I was on the used car lot at Jim McGill Chevrolet when it was on Chevy Hill in Birmingham. Well, anyway, I would put all the cars on the Christian station. We had two Christian stations on FM, WGJC and 91.9. I put it on. I made WDJC the first choice and the other one the second choice. And one of the guys had a gas station, and he had a house, swimming pool. But anybody that know anything about the gas business, if you have a filling station and a garage, and then you start selling gas at your garage, the gas company, all of them did it. I heard this from so many people. All of the gas, the major gas companies would set the price of the fuel, tell you how much you could sell it for, and then they would run you out of business and absorb your property when you go broke. And that's what they did to him. And that's how all of them do it. I've heard it from many sources, people who own, and some people, they had money and they said, no, you get your pumps and get out of here. And they stopped fooling with them. And so that's why you don't see many gas stations with a garage on it like you used to, because the gas companies are corrupt. If you sign their sorry contract, you end up out of business. But anyway, that's what happened to him. That's why he was selling used cars. But he was a Christian man, and he had went back. He kind of got away from the thing, you know. He got hurt, so he kind of got away from God. But listening to those broadcasts, he came back to balance. And listen to the radio, I mean, you know. And so the Holy Spirit can give you ideas to help people where they at. And it's important to help. We need each other here. Sinners need us, and Christians need you. Everybody needs to see you living the life of God. And you're not going to do it right without the love of God. It's not going to make sense to anybody without the love of God. You got the love of God keep you refreshed. See, you can go about your life trying to win souls and worried about people surrendering to the Antichrist and all the inflation and all the wars. The wicked gonna do wicked. These things are gonna happen. Use your authority and stop something. You can stop a lot of stuff. You can't make a man change his mind, but you can always stop Satan. You can interrupt his plan. But first, you got to live a holy life. Your life has to be pure before the Lord. If you're in league with the world, you forfeited your authority. And Satan will act like you won, but you didn't. And when it's time for you to learn from the Lord, you won't have an appetite for his knowledge. And this has happened to many people. And when you read the address to the seven churches, the way that they got to where they was didn't happen in one day. It happened over time. So it's important to keep a thriving relationship with Jesus. And every message God give you, Lord, what do you want? What should I do with in my life right now? This is what's happening. This is not what I want to happen. I want it to be better and better. I say, what do I do to get it there? And the Lord will give you a plan. If you're a pastor of a church and your members have fallen back because of COVID and the great falling away. See, don't get it confused. The great falling away had to happen. Just like the five foolish virgins. You know, they did. People are going to do what they're going to do. There's no way. Either they're going to honor God or they're not. It's like Keith. I heard Keith Moore last night. Now, this broadcast was done in 2021. And he said he was talking about honor. I love it. Devotion. What's the word he used? A person, if a person honors God, that comes from their heart. It's not something you can make them do. It's either they're going to do it or they're not. And that's how it is. But see, when you live the life of God to everybody, when you live in the love of God, then there's no offense to create a rift. You can, the word is sown in peace. So when you genuinely love people, people are made in God's image. They know that you genuinely love them.